The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Gary's on the line here. Gary, you heard Lars talk about something kind of disturbing. I was wondering if you could kind of break down a little bit of that. I didn't get a chance to hear that story. What happened?
There's a construction crane doing some construction on the campus of U of O in Eugene. And the U of O had asked, the construction crane had an American flag hanging from it.
Oh.
And the U of O had asked the construction company if they could take the flag down, probably because of Hamas sympathizers at the U of O demanding
Well, if it wasn't Hamas sympathizers, it probably would have been other anti-American sympathizers, essentially anti-American. And you're wondering whatever happened with that, if they took it down. I don't know, because I just heard about this. I didn't hear that part of the Lars show yesterday. I was busy, you know, doing 1,000 other things, know how it goes, you know, many hats here. I will try to my best to find out what was the resolution of that story. I might even reach out to Lars about it. Maybe he found out. Okay, I'll do that.
Thank you, Bill. Yeah, it's alarming, and I'm about ready to take my UFO sticker off the back of my car.
Yeah, don't blame you. Don't blame you one bit, okay? Thank you very much for that, Gary. It's 13 minutes after 8. Okay, we're going to talk with Dan Hampton here. He's a former fighter pilot. And of course, he was a fighter pilot at a time in which we had less controversy about hanging an American flag from a construction crane in the United States of America. All right. But it has to do about the mystery of the legendary Doolittle Raid. There was a missing 8th plane, and a great story, and he's going to share some of that coming up. That'll be after the Kim Komando Digital Update, which is also coming up in just a few here on KMED and 99.3 KBXG.
American Industrial Door has security and storm shutters and mesh for commercial and residential applications. These shutters protect storefronts, windows, retail counters, product cases, whatever needs instant protection against burglary, vandalism, and severe weather. With a touch of a button, you can secure an entry point or space with style and color. American Industrial Door has affordable scissor gates too. See all the security shutter options at American Industrial Door on Union Avenue in Grants Pass and on Crater Lake Avenue north of Violence Road.
Good. Artisan Bakery Cafe Summer Specials. Now is the time to indulge in a delicious affogato. Two perfectly pulled shots of espresso poured over creamy vanilla ice cream. For an extra treat, add chocolate and whipped cream to make it an affogato sundae. Come on by Tuesday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. and Saturday from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. at 1325 Center Drive, just across from South Fred Meyer. Indoor and outdoor seating available. That's Artisan Bakery Cafe.
The best technology should make the world more beautiful, life more rewarding, and pull people closer. And the very best tech does all this without harming the planet. Timber Tech Decking, the best performing, longest lasting, and most lifelike look of real wood. Because the best deck naturally comes from the best tech. Timber Tech. Go against the grain. Hughes Lumber Timber Tech sale is going on now. Don't miss out.
If your car isn't brand new, you can at least take some comfort that it's probably not reporting your driving habits to your insurance company, right? Well, not so fast. Maybe your car isn't. But one of those innocent-looking smartphone apps may be. Is one of these on your phone? I'm Kim Komando for NetSuite. Attention business owners, get a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program at netsuite.com/Kim. Millions use smartphone apps to find the cheapest gas, avoid traffic jams, and radar speed traps. There's My Radar, Gas Buddy, and Life 360. But these apps and many more, even SiriusXM, also send your driving data, your speeds, braking, and acceleration habits to third-party brokers who quickly resell all of it to your insurance carrier. The insurance companies say good drivers may get discounts, but you can bet this data can be used against you if your insurance carrier is forced to pay. Too good to be true, free apps usually are. So before you install and use any of them, be sure to read the fine print. Sign up for my free tech newsletter at getkim.com. Attention small business owners. Are you tired of juggling multiple systems to manage your business? You don't have to do that anymore. Simplify your life with NetSuite. It's the number one cloud financial system. Here's why. NetSuite brings accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR all into one platform, providing you one source of truth. Imagine reducing your IT costs and cutting the expense of maintaining multiple systems. You see, with SimpliSafe, you can easily improve efficiency by consolidating all of your major business processes. Say goodbye to manual tasks and errors. Join over 37,000 companies already benefiting from NetSuite. And here's some really exciting news. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for just a few more weeks. Now, I don't want you to miss out. Head to netsuite.com/Kim right now. That's netsuite.com/Kim. NetSuite, everything you need, all in one place. netsuite.com/Kim.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is brought to you by Johnson Builders, Southern Oregon's leading authority in post-frame and steel buildings for over 20 years.
And we appreciate their sponsorship and your listenership. And hey, we're just keeping you informed on what's going on. Wanted to take a break and a little look back at an interesting piece of history. And my guest is Lieutenant Colonel retired Dan Hampton. And boy, what an underachiever here, Dan. By the way, welcome to the show, Dan. I just wanted to welcome you here. Good morning. Hang on.
Good morning.
The reason I'm calling you an underachiever, let's see, you flew, I'm saying this sarcastically, 151 combat missions during your 20 years in the U.S. Air Force, 1986 to 2006, served in the Iraq War, Kosovo conflict, First Gulf War, four Distinguished Flying Crosses with Valor, a Purple Heart. When did you get the Purple Heart? Just curious.
I was in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Well, isn't that always the case, though? But yeah. which war was that in? I'm just curious.
That was actually Khobar Towers, the big facility that was hit by a 20,000-pound exploding truck.
Whoa.
So I wasn't doing anything heroic at the time, but, you know, some of us still got kind of banged up.
Yeah, but still, 8 Air Medals with Valor, 5 Meritorious Service Medals, numerous other citations. In other words, you put on your uniform and it's weighed down, right? You can't, it kind of pulls your back out.
Absolutely not. I always wore a flight suit.
Okay, all right. I'm just having fun with you, but seriously, this is some great summertime reading. And of course, we just got off of the D-Day commemoration a few days ago, and it's so worthy to talk about one of the raids which ended up being part of World War II history. And you wrote a book about this. It's Vanishing Act. I'm going to hold this up to the Facebook Live camera. Vanishing Act: The Enduring Mystery Behind the Legendary Doolittle Raid Over Tokyo. So, Dan, you're a New York Times bestselling author here on this kind of stuff. What is it about the Doolittle Raid that we don't know enough about of right now? What is that mystery? And maybe you can kind of break down the high points without giving away the entire story, okay?
It's a great question because, like most people, I thought, you know, I knew everything about the Doolittle Raid. I even knew that one of the planes, you know, went to the Soviet Union, not crashed in China like everybody else.
That's right.
But I didn't know why, and I came across a couple obscure references that I jotted down and forgot about until I was ready to write another book. And when I started to dig into this, I found out that some of the things that were being told publicly back then didn't make sense, not as a pilot.
Yeah, could you give me an example of something as a pilot that you would know that maybe a regular landlubber type or, you know, people, just regular civilians would not understand is, hey, this doesn't make sense?
Well, the first thing, the technical thing that jumped out at me was the fact that all of the airplanes that were going to go on that raid, even the spares that didn't go, had been modified, especially their carburetors, so that they would not use as much fuel because fuel was going to be tight. Mm-hmm. One airplane was mysteriously modified back to the original specifications, and it just happened to be the plane that went to Russia. So I, you know, put a question mark beside that. And then the pilot flying it, he was never intended to go on the raid. He was the operations officer. He did training and logistics. And there were 6 or 7 spare, fully trained crews standing by in case one needed replaced, which one did. And yet this guy, Ed York, ended up getting thrown in there at the last minute and going on the raid. Now, why was that? Why would that happen? So I started digging a little deeper, and it was very difficult because all of this was done verbally. Okay, even the Doolittle Raid itself, there were no orders.
Oh, really?
Or anything. Yeah. And, you know, to people of our generation, that's astonishing because we write everything down and there's electronic trails for everything. But you have to remember, I mean, this was the biggest war in history. These guys didn't have time for a lot of superfluous paperwork. And they all knew each other. So when one guy would call another into a room and say, you're going to do this, make this happen, he would go do it. And that's what happened with Doolittle, and that's what happened with the Eighth Plane.
And this was very much a seat of the pants, I guess, essentially, is what you're describing. Hey, men saw something that needed done. And really what was happening is that, United States was angry and very demoralized. This was after Pearl Harbor, of course, right?
Yeah,
and so
4 months.
Yeah, and so the whole idea was that you had to show the enemy that no, we're not just going to take this lying down, and we're going to go bomb Tokyo, right? And people, of course, I imagine even in the Air Force, or it wasn't the Air Force at that time, wasn't it called the
It was the Army.
Yeah, the Army. And at that point, were they thinking they were crazy to even attempt bombing Tokyo at that time?
No, I mean these guys were all professional military folks, and that was their job. I mean, it was to fight, and we were at war, so they accepted it. Now the seat of the pants part was the orders to go do it.
Right.
The raid was actually very carefully planned, but you're right. They it was sort of an ad hoc behind the scenes kind of thing, and they didn't want to leave a trail of blood, guts, and feathers because it was supposed to be very highly classified. And then the crux of the book here is that an idea was then put forth to, hey, as long as we've got these planes over there, let's send one to go do something that we need done. And that's why that eighth plane went to Russia.
And this is plane eight. And I guess tell us about the captain of this particular flight, Edward York, and the significance of this heading over to Russia that you ended up discovering.
Well, Ed York was, as I said, not intended to go. He was a B-25 squadron commander, and he did all the planning for it. But he wasn't intended to go, and then all of a sudden he shows up on the roster. So that's suspicious. Yeah, Ed York himself was born Ed Chichowski, which got my attention at first because I thought, well, it sounds like a Russian name. There must be something there. It isn't Russian. It's Polish.
Mm-hmm.
And he changed his name after he graduated from West Point because he thought it was too hard to pronounce for people.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I can understand that.
So he became Ed York, and he had a lot of flying time in the B-25. Very experienced, the poster boy of a professional military army officer in 1942.
Can you give us just a thumbnail sketch of how the Doolittle mission was really kind of a cover of what Ed York was supposed to do? I guess that, as much as the headlines was about bombing Tokyo, but it was really a cover then for York, right? Or not?
Yeah, more or less. But it was never what York was doing was never going to be publicized. Okay, what the Doolittle Raiders were doing, of course, was going to be publicized because that was the point, was to give America, a big morale boost to let our allies know that, hey, the United States is far from being out of this thing, and to smack Imperial Japan across the face. And it did all of those things. York's mission was always kept quiet, and in fact, the reason those carburetors were modified on that airplane was so they would be short of fuel. So he would have a plausible reason to say, I can't make it to China, even though he never intended to. I'm going to the Soviet Union.
Huh. Well, I just got the book a few days ago, so I haven't had a chance to dive into this. So now you're going to make me want to read this more, okay?
Good. That's always good if you're going to review it.
Okay. So I wanted to kind of get the overall, because I know that the reviews are coming in and people are just loving it, and so I'm seeing some great stuff. Was this, could you even tell me just a little hint, was this about maybe trying to get, more of the Soviets on side with us, or are we trying to influence the Soviets, or are we trying to do a little spying? Was maybe a combination of all? I mean, the imagination kind of runs wild on something like this.
Well, Russia didn't have anything we wanted or needed then or now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I mean, Russian junk is Russian junk, but they were very close to Japan. Okay, so if you let your mind wander on that, hey, how could Russia be helpful to us in fighting Japan? Because Russia wasn't at war with Japan. Russia looks out for Russia no matter what, and even though they were fighting the Germans in the West, they did not want to fight the Japanese in the East, so mm-hmm. they weren't going to do anything to provoke the Japanese. In fact, they didn't declare war on Japan until August of 1945, after all the fighting was over.
Yeah.
So, we were looking for something, but not something that the Russians could really give us, something that we were going to try to use. So I don't want to ruin the story.
Okay, I won't. I just want to give people a taste of that.
Was a purpose, though. That's the point. This was not a random, oh, my gosh, I'm out of fuel. First of all, York was way too experienced for that. You know, it was all intentional. And the other thing that stuck out when I was looking at this, and there's been a lot of erroneous accounts published of this raid. I mean, there's a couple by some pretty well-known authors who just got the facts plainly wrong. One of them even had Ed York bombing Tokyo, which was ridiculous. He never got to within 50 miles of Tokyo.
Because it was well known that he did. Now, was it known that York did not make it to Tokyo, and that was completely knowable?
Well, it was knowable if you did a little research, but a couple of writers have made up bombing runs over Tokyo for the 8th plane, which is just garbage, because when he hit the Japanese coast, he turned to the right, to the northwest. And a guy like Ed York would not turn the wrong way. He knew exactly where he was going. He turned away from Tokyo and headed across Japan for the Soviet Union.
Boy, isn't it amazing that 80 years later, people like you are still uncovering stuff we didn't know about the greatest generation in this war, huh?
I love to do that. And in fact, one of your Oregon natives was a subject of another book of mine called Vengeance. His name was Rex Barber. And I think he lived in Medford or something. I went to see his son and his grandson up there. But he's the one who shot down and killed Admiral Yamamoto. And I made certain that that was corrected, and he got the credit for it. And the co-pilot of this plane, Plane 8, Bob Emmons, he died there in Medford.
No kidding. See?
Yeah, he's an Oregonian.
It's a small world. Such a small world here.
Yeah.
Dan, I just really appreciate you digging into this. And, we're starting to revise some of what we thought we know, but we didn't really know about what was going on with some of these great stories and these amazing raids and acts of heroism. Oh, by the way, I wanted to ask, did Ed York survive this, though? Can you tell me that much?
Yeah, they all the entire crew survived.
Okay.
They were interned. The Russians probably wanted to just kill them and drop them in a hole somewhere, but that's what a Russian would do. But they were getting too much money from the United States at that point in time, and they weren't sure who knew these guys had landed in Russia, so they couldn't just kill them. They also couldn't turn them over to the Japanese. And they didn't want to anger the Japanese and provoke them into fighting them, so they interned them instead for over a year, and they moved them 4,000 miles west into the heart of Russia and kept them there until they arranged for them to escape.
Oh, arranged for them to escape.
Yeah, it was an arranged escape. There's no other reason to move them 1,000 miles south down near the Persian border. And Ed York was certain it was all arranged, and all of that's in the book. At that point in time, there wasn't any danger of the Japanese attacking Russia, and then Stalin wanted them gone, but he couldn't release them because that would make him look bad, so he let them escape.
Vanishing Act, The Enduring Mystery Behind the Legendary Doolittle Raid Over Tokyo by Dan Hampton. He's the author, and I'm talking with him about that this morning here. Dan, when you look back at the history of World War II and, Russia being the ally at that point, and Russia, of course, did a lot of the wet work too when it came to D-Day, of course, being the Allies, but yet never really an ally. It was an ally of necessary convenience at that particular time. When you look back at someone like a Patton who wanted to go into the Soviet Union, do you think in retrospect, and I know we're doing this with 2020 hindsight, was Patton right about wanting to go in and take Russia at that time?
Objectively, yes. Subjectively, I'd say nobody wanted to continue fighting for another couple of years.
Uh-huh.
I blame the politicians for giving away the farm, so to speak, to the Russians to appease them in that whole partitioning of Europe.
Mm-hmm.
We should have insisted at the time that the Russians go back to the pre-war borders, and therefore there would have been no Iron Curtain, there would have been no Warsaw Pact. Patton attacking them, would we have won? Absolutely. The only reason the Russians got as far as they did is because they were using American rifles, tanks, underwear, socks, boots, bullets, whatever. Okay, they have never been a match for us, and they never will be. But at the end of 4 years of warfare, nobody was much interested in continuing it.
And people were tired, right? They were tired.
Yeah. Patton could see ahead to the time when the Russians were going to be our biggest adversary, and throughout the Cold War, that's exactly what they were.
Yeah, he was very prescient, about that, and I think he understood that.
They still are.
Yeah.
It doesn't change. They don't change.
Yeah, I thought I would ask about that. Another thing I wanted to ask your opinion of, since you were in your Air Force and you served here, 151 combat missions between 1986 and 2006. Have you kept in touch with people in the service now, even though you're retired? I'm just curious what condition it is in now when it comes to the state of diversity, equity, and inclusion. I'm sorry to bring up a sore point, but I'm getting the impression more and more that these amazing armed services are being more politicized than ever. Would you concur on that? Do you even know? What are people telling you these days?
Yeah, sorry, I just threw up because you said diversity, equity, and inclusion.
I don't blame you. Yeah.
I saw this in my career with the whole equal opportunity beginning of the diversity movement thing. And, in theory, it's a good idea, but it's a good idea if you're selling insurance or shoes somewhere. When you're involved in combat arms, when you're involved with fighting, physically fighting, it doesn't matter what color somebody is. It doesn't matter if they sit down or stand up when they go to the bathroom. What matters is, can they do what they're trained to do and do it right and not get me killed in the process? So we have never cared about all of that. And to cheapen any fighting branch of our military by insisting that crap is more important than your intelligence and your abilities is setting us up for a real problem in the future.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that we have a problem with readiness these days in contrast with perhaps earlier times when we thought more clearly about actual achievement and ability rather than, making sure you check a box?
I do, but I don't think it's going to stop us from walloping the Russians if we had to, certainly not the Chinese. We are our own worst enemy. Okay, and we are the ones who are hurting ourselves, not the bad guys. They are not a match for us, and they never will be, and that's just a plain fact. Okay, but every crack in the wall makes another crack, and it's not as good as it used to be. I think they're spending entirely too much of the military's budget and brain power on putting on this political show for Washington, and what they really ought to be worrying about is better ships, better planes, better fighting vehicles, and better people.
Total agreement about this, and that's also the reason why I asked you about the Patton question, because essentially the Soviet Union's mentality has infected the United States, and essentially the Sovietization of a lot of American thought, and a lot of that happened back in the late 50s, probably more like the late 1960s with boomer culture, at that point, the revolution, the soft revolution kind of going through the institutions. That's been my concern for quite some time, and yet I'm of that generation. Dan, great job on this one. Vanishing Act, the enduring mystery behind the legendary Doolittle raid over Tokyo when we weren't thinking about the sort of stuff we're thinking about now. And you can find out more about this. You can get it at all the usual suspects. And to find out more about Dan, you just go to his Facebook page. It's Dan Hampton Author, right? That's how you get a hold of you about that?
Yeah, that's how they can get a hold of me. I've also learned that there's a Wikipedia page, too, that I had nothing to do with, but it's mostly accurate.
If it's mostly accurate, that's better than most of Wikipedia. What are you working on next year before we take off here? What's on your sights, your gun sights, so to speak?
I'm doing another fictional novel, and then I just signed a contract for another nonfiction piece that has to do with spies.
All right. You're staying busy in retirement, in other words, huh?
Yeah, I don't think I ever really retired.
Good for you. It's a wise way to act, Dan. Great meeting you, and thanks for being on the show. Be well.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
It's 836 at KMED at 99.3 KBXG.
Looking for reliable roofing experts? Turn to the family-owned gem of our community, Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc., your go-to for metal roofing solutions, offering 25-year workmanship guarantee on all projects. New construction, re-roofing project, residential or commercial, they've got you covered. This experienced team ensures a stress-free experience from start to finish. Choose quality. Choose Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. for your metal roofing needs. Call today. Get an estimate tomorrow. 541-941-3736.
Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local retailer. It's time to switch to Dish.
If you have DirecTV or cable TV, call me today to see how I can save you money. Plus, I'll lower your internet and cell phone bills.
And those offers in the mail from Dish, you can go through No Wires Now for those.
Call me at 541-680-5875.
Call Charisse like I did or visit their showroom off Biddle Road in Medford, nowiresnow.com. Restrictions apply. Call for details. Internet and cell phone service not provided. By Dish.
One of each Forte VIN 785766 MSRP 21645 SOL VIN 237299 MSRP 22140 3500 due 10K miles per year zero security deposit all incentives and discounts to dealer plus tax title license 150 registration processing fee trading in a vehicle will not eliminate your debt negative equity apply to new loan balance and 63024.
Thinking about a new ride? It's time to trade in, trade up, and save at Kia Medford during the summer sticker sales event. Hurry in to get more cash for your trade in. Then trade up and save on our huge Kia selection, like a new 2024 Kia Forte LXS or a new 2024 Kia Soul LX. Just $139 a month lease, both for 24 months. Plus, once we make a deal at Kia Medford, we'll pay off your trade no matter how much you owe. Need credit? Go to KiaMedford.com to get pre-approved in less than 30 seconds with no effect on your credit score. Then find the Kia you really want, like Fortes or Souls. Just $139 a month. Trade in, trade up, and save at Kia Medford. Click KiaMedford.com.
Do you take safe drinking water for granted? If you have a well for your water, no one's monitoring what's in your water. It's up to you to be sure that the water you and your family are drinking is safe and free of contaminants. Get your well tested now. Grants Pass Water Lab offers next day results for bacteria tests and a speedy 3 to 5 days for a full reporting that meets all state requirements. Online at gpwaterlab.com. Independent and serving the Rogue Valley for over 40 years.
This is the Bill Meyer Show on 106.3 KMED.
838. We have Kevin here. Kevin Keating, who was hanging on. Kevin, I didn't have time to get you on with the conversation with Dan Hampton about Vanishing Act and the Doolittle Raid, a mystery about that. But you wanted to weigh in on that. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was saying that I read a book a while ago. It was named Guests of the Kremlin, and it was written by Bob Emmons, who was on that flight that he was talking about under York. And he was the co-pilot, and he was a graduate of Bedford High and University of Oregon, and he's buried at Eastwood Cemetery right here in Medford.
Right here. Yeah, I've just looked him up here. And of course, this Bob Emmons, Colonel Bob Emmons, is he died in 1992. So that was just like a year after I got to Southern Oregon. So I probably didn't notice it at that time. Otherwise, I probably would have gone, oh, yeah, Bob Emmons. But yeah, interesting. Small world, isn't it? Small world. Just
yeah, I had never heard of the part about York. So I'm looking forward to reading that book.
Well, I'll tell you what. I have two copies of the book. One's for me, and I got one for you. Then, okay.
All right.
We're gonna leave it up front there at the front desk for a Vanishing Act for you. Okay. Thanks, Kevin.
Hey, thanks. Good show, Bill.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate that. It's 9:20, and now we're gonna have even more fun. We had some history, and now another Diner 62 Real American Quiz. I love these. And at Diner 62, they have an amazing special going on right now, a half ham steak. And the ham ham steak is rich and juicy. It's really good stuff. And then they have scrambled eggs with that. You get the mashed potatoes, not mashed potatoes, it's hash browns. Hash browns and more. They brought that last week for the breakfast. Just delicious, like $10.95. It's 6 to 9 Monday through Friday. So there's a very affordable sit-down breakfast there at Diner 62. Clam Chowder Friday, as always, third-pound burgers, good stuff. If you're hungry when you leave Diner 62, I think you have a hormonal issue, assuming that you ate a meal there, okay, if you're hungry after you leave there, because portions are great, all right? 770-5633, 770-KMED. If you haven't won this in the last 60 days, give somebody else a chance. But if you haven't won, go ahead and call, and we'll play that next.
The best technology should make the world more beautiful, life more rewarding, and pull people closer. And the very best tech does all this without harming the planet. Timber Tech Decking, the best performing, longest lasting, and most lifelike look of real wood. Because the best deck naturally comes from the best tech. Timber Tech. Go against the grain. Hughes Lumber Timber Tech sale is going on now. Don't miss out.
News is sponsored by Valley View Nursery, your only nursery with online pricing. Visit valleyviewnursery.com. They're closer than you think.
With SRN News, I'm Jeremy House in Washington. The House is expected to vote on a resolution holding Attorney General Merrick Garland in contempt of Congress for refusing to turn over audio of President Biden's interview in his classified documents case. It's a move that comes just weeks after the White House blocked release of the recording to lawmakers. The Supreme Court has a lot of work left to do and little time to do it. The court is headed into its final few weeks with nearly half the cases heard this year undecided, including ones that could reshape the law on everything from guns to abortion to social media. Jerry West, who was selected to the Basketball Hall of Fame three times and in a storied career as a player and executive, died this morning. The Los Angeles Clippers making the announcement. West was 86. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 111 points. More details at srnnews.com.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is brought to you by Johnson Builders, Southern Oregon's leading authority on post-frame and steel buildings for over 20 years.
Whether you need a weathertight garage for your vehicles and toys, a functional workshop, an ideal barn for your horses, or an oversized covered riding arena, Johnson Builders has you covered. Choose from a variety of maintenance-free colors, warranted steel panel roofing and siding options, plus alternative finishes like stone, brick, or wood siding to match your aesthetic and functional requirements. Roofing material options too. Visit Johnson.Builders.
Johnson Builders, building for your future.
Your smile is the key to your health and confidence. Did you also know that research has concluded people have almost as much fear about finding a new dentist as they do about going to the dentist? Hi, I'm Dr. Robert Johnson, and here at Dental Excellence, we value the confidence and trust our patients have in us. My 20 years of experience and thorough training equals comprehensive dental care. From creating that perfect filling or doing that perfect root canal in my dental microscope, to restoring a patient's confidence with implant-supported dentures, we can do it all here at Dental Excellence. For those who need, I am highly trained and certified in IV sedation and the art of creating a comfortable, relaxed, stress-free environment. Are you looking for friendly, compassionate personal care? Come and join our excellent dental family.
Call 541-779-6170 today for a free consultation. Dental Excellence.
Dental Excellence. Changing lives, one smile at a time.
Earlier this morning, I reported what the New York Times and the Fed and everyone else is saying, that inflation has cooled only 3.3%. And, of course, if you've opened up any kind of insurance renewal lately, you'll know that that's a bunch of baloney. I could use some stronger term. Okay, bovine excrement could be what it is, especially when you see insurance year over year going anywhere from 10%, 15%, 20%, 25%. Sometimes people are actually coming out and canceling your coverage. Fortunately, there is a friend in the insurance industry you need to get in touch with, and that's Steve Yancey at the independent agency. It's Sky Park Insurance. Sky Park, like I said, independent, doesn't deal with just one company's offering, many, many, many different companies. And, you know, maybe Safeco can help you out on this one, or maybe you go with Progressive on another one, or whatever the case might be. It's shopping and shopping. And matching you to the best deal. He saved lots of KMED and 99.3 KBXG listeners a lot of money over a lot of the years. But you have to call him. He will not reach out to you. You have to call him. So it's 261-5444, 261-5444. With the the existent yet non-existent Biden inflation that they're still trying to snow you with today, talk with Steve Yancey, 261-5444 or skyparkins.com.
At Sky Park, we make insurance easy.
106.3 KMED, and this is the Bill Myers Show.
Diner 62 Real American Quiz, and we're talking about this week in history in 1692. So we're going to bring on Selma Dave. Hello, Selma Dave. How are you doing this morning?
Hey,
Hey, good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Selma Dave. It was this week in history. It was actually Monday, June 10th, 1692. There was the first hanging in the Salem witches trial, okay? Salem Village in the Massachusetts Bay Colony, Bridget Bishop, the very first colonist to be tried, is hanged after being found guilty of the practice of witchcraft. 13 more women, 5 men from all stations of life, they ended up following her to the gallows, and one man, Giles Corey, was executed by crushing. Yikes, boy, we were serious about executions in those days, eh, Selma Dave? Wow.
Yeah, time to get back to that.
Yeah. You know, when you have so much disorder, we people start crying out for like, okay, yeah, let's have deportation hearings and worse, okay? But anyway, most of the people that were condemned were on the basis of witnesses' behaviors during the actual proceedings. If people had fits or hallucinations, they were arguably been caused by the defendants on trial, okay? Now, the trouble in the small Puritan community started in February 1692. It all started with 9-year-old Elizabeth Parris and 11-year-old Abigail Williams, the daughter and the niece of the Reverend Samuel Parris, and they started having fits and other mysterious maladies. A doctor concluded that the kids were suffering from the effects of witchcraft, and the young girls corroborated the doctor's diagnosis. Now, under compulsion from the doctor and their parents, the girls named those allegedly responsible for their suffering. So the question, Selma Dave, here on the Salem witch trials, how old was the youngest person to be arrested and put in jail for witchcraft back in that day? Was it A, 2 years old, B, a 4-year old, C, 8 years old, D, 12 years old, or E, 15 years old? It's one of those five. You want to take a stab at that?
Okay. 12.
You're going to say 12. Was it 12? No. Not this time. Had to explain the whole history about this, but I appreciate the call. Let me go to Greg. Greg, it's not a 12-year-old. We're talking about the youngest person put in jail for the crime of witchcraft back at that time. Was it a 2-year-old, 4-year-old, 8-year-old, or 15 years old?
Let's go with the 8-year-old.
Go with the 8-year-old. Is it 8 years? Survey says no. It's not that either. I know. Sorry about that. Let me go with Jerry. Hello, Jerry. How you doing?
Good morning, Bill.
Morning, Jerry. So we're talking about 2-year-olds, 4-year-olds, or 15-year-olds. How young of a kid did we put in jail for the crime of witchcraft back in the day?
You know, I think 15.
You think 15? No, it's younger than that.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. Sorry. Who do we go to next? Oh, that would be DJ. DJ, you have a 50-50 chance of winning the Diner 62 quiz here. You there, DJ?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, good. All right. So, I can hear you now.
4 years old.
You're going to say 4-year-old?
Yes.
Okay, so they weren't willing to put a 2-year-old in, a toddler in there, but a 4-year-old. Yeah.
You're a winner!
You get it, DJ. At the age of just 4 years old, Dorothy Good, accused of practicing witchcraft, and she was put in a dungeon-like prison for about 8 months, and she was jailed with her mother, Sarah Good, and baby sister, and then her sister perished in the dark, dank prison conditions. Probably just horrible, right? You can't imagine that. And her mother, her mother was convicted of practicing witchcraft and taken away for execution. And she was forever traumatized by this. And Dorothy's father later described her as chargeable, having little or no reason to govern herself. I guess she had a lot of children out of wedlock at that time and just kind of nutsy, unfortunately. And recent research by our director of education has revealed more information about the adult life of Dorothy Good, a tragic picture of her adult years. So kind of a sad story, but yeah, we put a 4-year-old in prison back in those days. So there are some things that were better in those days. In this particular case, I'm okay with today's jurisprudence. We don't put 4-year-olds in deep, dark, dank prisons, and that's a good thing. But that is not what Diner 62 is like. So you're going to go there and have a great meal, okay? So you hang on, DJ. Right. Take care of business and take more of your calls and everything else coming up. 770-5633. Another Diner 62 quiz. We'll wrap that up for the week for me tomorrow.
Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is celebrating its 20-year anniversary as the Rogue Valley's car, truck, Jeep, and SUV accessory upfit headquarters. Specializing in spray-on bedliners, vehicle undercoating, tonneau covers, and the largest selection of fiberglass, commercial, and metal canopies in the area. Running boards, Nerf bars, bumpers, winches, and LED lighting are also on the menu, along with hitches, decked drawer systems, and bed slides, too. Come see Oregon Truck and Auto Authority today and get your vehicle ready for your next adventure.
If you have an appliance that's giving you trouble, Just-In-Time Appliance is your fast and affordable mobile appliance repair, serving the Rogue Valley. Just-In-Time services and repairs all brands. Major appliances often can be repaired, extending their life and saving you money. So give Just-In-Time Appliance a no-obligation call for advice on whether it can be fixed with the best warranty available. Before you go to the expense of buying a new appliance, call Just-In-Time Appliance online at justintimeappliance.com.
Freddy's Diner in Old Town Eagle Point has a menu designed to appeal to everyone in the family. Choose from 13 hearty burgers served with fresh-cut fries, crisp and moist pressure-fried chicken, hand-dipped fish and chips, beer-battered prawns, sandwiches, steaks, salads, and more. Dine in or check out the menu online. Call in your order, and it'll be waiting for a quick and easy pickup. Support your local restaurants. Freddy's Diner on Main in Old Town Eagle Point.
Open 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day for lunch and dinner.
When the IRS comes knocking, the news can be shocking. Tell them you've hired a CPA tax expert at First Response Resolution, located in Eagle Point. Leave speaking with the IRS to Zach. He'll defend your rights as a taxpayer. Visit FirstResponseIRS.com today for a free consultation.
Summertime is truck time in Southern Oregon, so I'm going to keep the $4.45 a month deal going on Ford F-150s. Joel here at Butler Ford and Truck Center. Tow the boat or camper for only $4.45 a month and a new Ford F-150. Go haying, hunting, or hauling for only $4.45 a month and a new Ford F-150. Whatever you do in your truck, make sure you do it in one from Butler Ford and Truck Center, where I'll show you how to lease a brand new Ford F-150 for only $4.45 a month. And let's talk about Ford certified pre-owned vehicles. We're the dealership that sells any make and model as Ford Blue certified. Ford backs up these pre-owned vehicles with a comprehensive warranty and roadside assistance. Butler says yes to easy financing to everyone. Butler says yes to $4.45 a month on a new F-150. And Butler says yes to certified pre-owned vehicles with warranty. Butler Ford and Truck Center, just 12 short minutes south of Medford, right off of exit 19, where you know we've got your truck, your SUV, your certified pre-owned hybrid and electric vehicle.
36-month lease payments and 7,500 miles per year with 7,500 cash or trade to a semi, excluding tax, license, title, and 250 dealer fee on vehicle with cap cost of $42,884. Approved financing to Ford Credit. Offer expires 7/9/24.
Hi, I'm Matt Stone, owner of Stone Heating and Air, and I'm on 106.3 KMED.
It's 8:53. Dad joke of the day, and that's submitted by...
It's not unusual to be loved by anyone.
Doug Dean in Rogue River. I'm giving you the hint of the punchline already. You know, a man in the psychiatrist's office says, Doc, I'm addicted to Tom Jones, his songs, his movie, his TV shows. I mean, all I can think of is Tom Jones. What's wrong with me? Am I the only person with this condition? And the shrink says, it's not unusual. Yeah, I know. I was telegraphing it, but sorry about that, Doug. I had to have fun with it. Give me an excuse to play Tom Jones. By the way, I saw Tom Jones. I forget what show he was performing on. I'm sure it's one of the American Idol, some singing song. I forget. I don't watch any of that much any longer. But he sang a song, I want to say about a year and a half ago, and he's in his 80s. He still just nailed it. It's amazing what a powerful singer he still is. And a good-looking guy. Must have that. Just a good guy overall. I don't know. But anyway, dad jokes of the day, by the way, are sponsored by TwoDogsFab.com. Two Dogs Fabricating on Bryan Way off Sage Road in Medford. Now, if you have a better joke than what Doug is submitting there, and I liked it, though, but they have a great sense of humor, just go to TwoDogsFab.com and email it to them, all right? By the way, Two Dogs is Southern Oregon's exclusive North Star dealer. If they don't have the perfect flatbed, they will build you a custom flatbed out of that. Get ready for the fire season that they're going to be warning you about ceaselessly with a custom-made aluminum top-mount forestry racks for vans, and they specially build that for carrying firefighting gear. And they're also the local dealer for Iron Bull trailers made by North Star. Okay? All right. Lots of good stuff going on there at Two Dogs. 770-5633. It's open phones, crazy time. It's always dangerous when I do this, but I'll hit the lines and I don't know. Hi, who's this? Good morning. Welcome.
This is Minor Gay.
See, there it is. I shouldn't have hit the line. It was you. It was you. I should have known it was you all along. Okay?
Yeah. Kirby Jackson had a relative that she was executed, as being a witch.
Really?
And he said that from his research, it was all about a land grab because she was a big farmholder of farmland at the time.
All a little bit corrupt. Yeah, so it's in other words, it's always about the money. We can come up with an excuse, right?
Right.
Huh. Interesting. You know, what do you think they would do with someone that would be accused of witchcraft today? Or do you think they'd... Witchcraft, that'd probably be perfectly fine. Oregon Health Authority would probably have a program for them to help them make sure they're there.
I don't mean the witches would have you canceled.
Oh, got it. Okay, there you go. Now you got it, Dave. Appreciate the call. Hi, this is Bill. Who's this? Good morning.
Hey, it's Lucretia.
Oh, no. See, I should have known. No. I should have seen. You got to warn me about these kind of things. So there we go. Lucretia, it's not even Conspiracy Theory Thursday. You're supposed to come out of the closet on Conspiracy Theory Thursday, not on Wheels Up Wednesday. Okay.
Well, it's hard to be a conspiracy theory when, flat out, we know our history is not what they told us at all. I mean, we had 60 gorgeous cities with things we can't even begin to rebuild with all our technology today burnt down. And you have, at the time of World War One, the king of Britain, Russia, and Germany were all first-level cousins, all Jesuits, all part of the Caesars, the Caesars, and the Caesars.
Uh-huh.
They're all first-level. Yeah.
Okay. Now, do you have a great point to make here in our closing seconds?
Well, I just don't believe that, you know, Russia is so much different. I think that the Catholic Church controls it all, including our country. I mean, they even own the White House, you know?
Okay. I'm not so sure about the Catholic Church owning Russia, but it's an interesting perspective. I will give you that. It's an interesting perspective, but I don't know if there's any one shadowy conspiratorial group. But thank you. Let me go to line three. Line three, who's this?
Bill.
Hi.
Hi, Bill. I wanted to tell you, I did a lot of work with the Doolittle Raiders.
Oh, you did?
That was a fascinating interview.
Oh, good. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Hey, you wanted to add anything to that?
Yeah, I knew Ski York, and I knew Bob Emmons for years, and I interviewed them both a lot. And the interesting thing was Bob never mentioned why he went to Russia. I always had a question about why they were there, and he never mentioned it. So I thought that was fascinating.
Yeah, he kept that secret. He kept that secret till the very end. And apparently in The Vanishing Act, we find out the rest of that story, apparently. So hey, could you hang on just a moment? I'd like to get your name, all right? 858 and change, Conspiracy Theory Thursday. We'll talk more tomorrow. Drake's